This is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
It's happening, everybody. It's happening right now. Wyman and Bob taking place for 1 hour before the Mariners begin their series with the Cleveland Indians. We'll turn you over to the pregame show coming up at the top of the hour. But before that, we've got a lot to get to. We've got John Morosi coming up at 2:30. We got Mean Texts at 2:45. It's all going to happen within an hour. It's amazing what we can get done, Dave. It really is.
Yeah, well, like you said, it's an hour of fury. We would not skip. We would not deprive people of the opportunity to send in their mean texts. So get them going right now, 710-710. That's I'm sure exactly Lefko right. has been collecting them for the last week anyway.
He loves it. I swear, you and I like it, especially when they're funny and creative. But I think Lefko likes them regardless. They can be mean and just, hey, you guys stink. Whatever. He likes it.
I like the ones that make me laugh uncontrollably.
Well, that's what I was going to say. If you can get Lefko, when I think about Lefko not controlling himself, there was one about me and some jorts yelling at somebody to get off their lawn, and Lefko couldn't even get it out. It
I
was
know.
Hilarious.
So his response is much funnier than the actual text.
Yeah. That's when you know you've sent in a good one.
All right, 710-710 is the Mac and Jacks text line. We'll do that at 2:45, so you still got some time to think about it, put it together, make it creative, and we'll unveil those at 2:45. This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. So I guess the big news around the Seahawks is that we finally heard from Russell Wilson for the first time since the Dan Patrick interview, which is amazing because he's been such a topic, and it feels like he's said something since, but he really hasn't. We heard from his agent in the meantime, but he spoke yesterday. I want to get to some of this for those that have not heard what he had to say. Just quickly before we get to these cuts, though, Dave, were you surprised by it? This is exactly what we expected, I would say. The same with Pete. You kind of know how they're going to handle it, how they're going to talk about it. It's going to be totally diffused. It'll be very positive and full of platitudes and all that. Everything that they do well, they put into action in these two press conferences. Pete did it before, and that's exactly what Russ did here.
Yeah, and it was just never really a thing, and it was wonderful for us talk show hosts that had a little to talk about. And yeah, I mean, I think it was interesting because we had never thought anything other than Russ is going to be here the rest of his career. Nobody had ever thought, I don't think, about that. So, you know, I think every time where there's a contract up, you know, we talked about Kyler Murray, you know, him maybe bringing up the baseball thing. I mean, that's just, you know, it's just business. I mean, you're doing what you're supposed to do. You know, if you're an agent, you want to create a stink. I thought, you know, as much as we've ripped Mark Rogers, you know, and he's kind of become the scapegoat of everything, which is fine. I mean, I'm sure he's fine with that.
That's
his
job.
Yeah, and if I saw Mark Rogers, I'd be like, hey, man, you know, I mean, I don't blame him for doing it. You know, he should be the bad guy. That's what he's supposed to do, and that's kind of where we focused on. And I don't think anybody, you know, there was a few people that were, Pete needs to do this and Russ needs to do that. I thought they were going to be solid no matter what. You heard what Pete said earlier, how they just weren't going to respond to it, and now with Russell Wilson, it's coming out that, you know, it was never really a thing from the beginning.
Well, let's start with cut number one, talking about being at the Super Bowl and saying if I'm sitting there at the Super Bowl and actually not playing in it, I should be mad.
No, listen, when I'm sitting in the Super Bowl and watching the Super Bowl, like, I should be pissed off, right? I mean, at the end of the day, you should be wanting to sit there and watch the game and want to be there and want to play in the game, especially when you played in it twice. You know, and it's one of those things like, man, we got to get back here.
Yeah, it makes sense. I would imagine any player in that league that is sitting there watching that game, whether it's in person or on their couch, has that feeling of this stinks. I'm watching these guys. Maybe you beat those guys. Maybe you played with some of those guys. I mean, depending on everybody's situation. But yeah, I would imagine anybody who's competitive at that level is sitting there going this. And some don't even watch it. Some are like, I'm done. I don't need to see that. So I totally get that.
Well, and also, I believe in that game, Brady didn't get touched, right? I don't think he even got – he might have got hit, but I don't think he got sacked. So that was part of the frustration. And then, you know, the other thing I think that really weighed into it, that was an awful loss. I mean, for the first time after that game, Russ did not show up on time to his press conference. Mm-hmm. And when he finally did, after 45 minutes or an hour, he looked like he'd gone 10 rounds, you know, after the game. So that was just a very disappointing way that they lost that game. That was terrible. You know, and I, every time I think about that game, it makes me kind of sick to my stomach because, you know, and we, you know, a lot of people thought, oh, man, it was, yeah, the offense, they didn't score points. But I thought it was on the defense, allowing, you know, those guys, the way they were banged up to go down the field, a rookie to run all over you. I mean, it was just such a bad taste in your mouth. I feel like he wouldn't have had as much bitterness sitting at the Super Bowl because I think every guy realizes, hey, only two of us are going to make it every year and only one of us is going to win. So, you know, but that one was just, it was like they should have gone much further based on how they played earlier on in the season. They should have gone a lot further in the playoffs.
Yeah, that you couldn't have a more disappointing end of the season than that performance against the Rams. That was trash. I mean, it just was. It was just such a garbage game. Cut number two, talking, he was asked why he didn't quiet rumors or come out and speak sooner. Here's what he had to say about that.
Sometimes things are family matters. Not everybody else is a part of it at the time, you know. Because the reality is that, you know, there was calls going around that I could have possibly been traded, and so you know, I think the reality is that we you know, we had to have a lot of conversations. We had some great ones along the way, and it made our relationship stronger. Really, me and Pete and John and all that.
Hmm. Oh, that's good.
Family matters. And now here's the one exception I would take with that is that. He's the one that brought up the family matters on Dan Patrick's show, if you will, if we're going to refer to him as family matters. I don't think he needed to. I know everybody wants to know every detail. What did he say? What did they say? What's going on? But I think he probably could have, and I'm not saying he should have, but he could have come out with a really vague, hey, listen, this thing got blown out of proportion. Everybody's great. We're doing fine. I can't wait for the season. Look forward to getting back out there. Boom. You're done. You know what yeah. I mean? One of those kind of things rather than, you know, just letting it fester, letting it boil, letting it grow. His agent coming out and saying, well, all right, we don't want to be traded, but here are four teams on the list. So I think there could have been something done where he didn't have to address specifics on any level, and it could have really helped put that fire out a bit. But, you know, the idea that, hey, you know, these things need to stay behind closed doors, he didn't have to divulge anything, and it started with his conversation with Dan Patrick.
Well, I'll say this, and I'm in the mode to, you know, now that Russ is back and we're all kumbaya, everything's good. Oh, I hate that. Why did I say that?
Come on, Sherm.
I know. But, you know, you think back, Russ has been pretty perfect. He really has. From the very beginning, he has been nothing but, like, I always joke about when I talk to, like, the national guys, I was like, hey, guys, listen, the first couple of years when he was saying things like failure is not an option, I was like, what is this, like an action movie promo? What are you talking about? But then you come to learn that he really is that way. That's the way he thinks. And, you know, he's really been, you know, I know everybody thought he was robotic in the beginning. And I just think Russ, I mean, look at what's going on with Aaron Rodgers. Look at what's going on in Houston. You know, it could be much worse. And I think Russ has done a really good job. Yeah, he got mad, like he said. He got bleeped off. And you know, we can't say that, but he can. But, you know, I understand the frustration and everything. And he's not going to be perfect. And he's been pretty perfect. So, you know, I'm just writing. I feel like this will be in the rearview mirror very quickly here.
Well, it certainly should be. I don't know at this point why.
I mean, for fans.
Yeah.
I feel like fans are going to also kind of go like, okay, yeah, it's okay. We love Russ. Everybody loves Russ.
Yeah. But I'll still be curious, Dave, to see if there are hard feelings from. We got a lot of texts, a lot of people on Twitter. Oh, he's Hollywood. He's prima donna. It's Sierra. It's this. It's that. It's, you know, some things you'd never hear about him. So I'm wondering if he goes out and has a bad game, throws a pick six, or, you know, makes a mistake out there that is costly. How much slack is there that, you know, otherwise would have been there before? How much of that is gone now because of this? How many people are going to say, well, if he wasn't so focused on complaining, you know how it goes. It just, there's an excuse now to rail on the guy. So I'm going to be interested to see how people respond if he plays poorly in a game or, you know, has a really bad play. It'll just be something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, it's true.
Cut number three. Here he is talking about how that list of four teams that he'd be willing to go to got out there.
The reality was there were a lot of people, there was a whole thing saying that I requested a trade, And that's just not true. You know, I didn't request a trade, you know. So I think everything kind of started from there. And then obviously tons of teams were calling. And I think that the reality was is that I didn't really want to go anywhere else. I wanted to play in Seattle. But if I had to go somewhere, these are the teams I would go to consider.
Okay. That to me would be a conversation you keep behind closed doors. And I'm sure there was strategy to it for his agent to put that out there publicly and maybe put pressure on the Seahawks on some level from the public, from the fan base, or who knows. But that would be an element I would say, yeah, that's, you know, you have that conversation with your agent behind closed doors. Hey, what if they want to trade me? Where are we willing to go? Because he's got the no trade clause, so he's the one who can dictate, you know, yes or no, I'll go to this team or that team. That would be one I would have thought you'd keep behind closed doors, but I'm certain there, you know, if we talked to Mark Rogers, he'd say, here's why I made that public.
Yeah. The whole thing to me, though, was the one, maybe the worst part of it for me is that there should have been trust that Pete was going to fix, you know, things. And they kind of did. They fired the offensive coordinator. They got a new guy in who's young and dynamic and has all kinds of motion and pre-snap stuff that, you know, that Russell totally can handle. I think he's the smartest quarterback in the league. And, you know, that I think he's going to be really good at running this offense. He's like a magician back there with the ball. He's always, you know, it's pretty rare that you see Russ look flustered or anything. So, you know, and we saw a little bit of that at the end of last year. So, yeah, I feel like, you know, there should have been some faith, though, that Pete recognizes what he has in you. He is a top three, top four quarterback, depending on the year. And, you know, if Brady hadn't won the Super Bowl, Russ would probably be top three. But Brady's in there because of that. And then, you know, they should have had some faith that Pete is going to try to get, and then he did. He went and got Gabe Jackson, him and John Schneider. They traded for him. They brought in Gerald Everett. They brought in a new offensive coordinator. You know, they've done things in the past to help him. And there just should have been more faith, I think, for Pete and John. There was not any reason to put pressure on them by saying things like this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. You guys can text in, by the way, 710-710 to the Mac and Jacks text line. Bleep Russ, football is war. If you don't want to fight for our territory, then have fun in Chicago. All right. Jeez. That's from the 509-425. I'm choosing to stay bitter.
Okay. I appreciate that.
The 253, he wanted his name in the press. Popularity whore. So, yeah, whoa. There's still some hard feelings out there when it comes to Russ. All right. That's fine. That's what I'm curious about. That's what I'm curious to see once the season gets going. And again, he's not going to play perfect. He's not going to complete 100% of his passes. He's not going to throw zero interceptions. So when those moments come, what is the reaction going to be as compared to previous seasons? That's going to be the interesting thing.
Well, there's a 253 here that I'm going to disagree with. So you guys have to give credit to Dan Patrick. He's a great interviewer, and he has a way of getting stuff out of you. No, Russ went on there ready to fire.
He offered that up.
Yeah, I don't think Dan Patrick drew anything out of him. I thought he was there to make a statement, and like Dan Patrick basically just pushed play, right? It was like me with Ryan Roland Smith yesterday and Jake Rogers. All I had to do was mention Jake Rogers' name and just push play.
And Ryan started talking about his weird head.
Yeah, it's got a weird head, that stupid mustache. He's pudgy. Yeah, so I mean, Russ was ready to go. I don't think Dan Patrick's great and everything, but I don't think he milked that out of Russell Wilson at all.
Yeah, no, and that's no disrespect to Dan, but you're right. Russell came in there with a purpose, and for all you know, Dan might have been prepped that, hey, Russell wants to come in and talk about what's going on with his team now.
Wasn't he? Didn't we hear that? I thought
it was tweeted out the night before. And I can't remember if it was LaConfora or one of the guys that's always out there breaking news had tweeted something the night before that you know, Russell isn't happy with being hit, you know, just sort of implying there's dissatisfaction. And then this followed that. So it was already out there. It was already out there. And then he, you know, again, not trying to take anything away from Patrick, but I think you nailed it. Russ went in there with a purpose and said what he wanted to say. Cut number four. Just sort of reiterating, he didn't request a trade, and more importantly, he's here to win it all.
You know, in terms of the trade talks, I think anytime you play professional sports, there's always a possibility of something happen, right? And I think that's just the reality. I think that there's a lot of teams out there that people were saying that I was going to or would go to. I requested a trade. I did not request a trade. I've always wanted to play here. You know, and the reality is, you know, I think calls were getting thrown around and this and that, and I think that's just a reality. But I think at the end of the day, the real reality is that I'm here, and I'm here to win. And I'm here to win it all.
That's the most important thing to hear, right? I mean, if you're a football, if you're a Seahawk fan and you're, you know, curious or worried or whatever your feelings are about this, that's the statement you wanted to hear. I'm here. I'm here to win it all. I want to play my career here.
Yeah, and I think everybody knew that eventually he was going to say that. Did you not? I mean, was there a doubt?
No.
Yeah, not to me either. I just don't think, you know, this has a lot to do with, and it's not like I'm buddies with Russ or anything like that, but just observing him and, you know, being with the team and just seeing the kind of guy he is and catching him every once in a while in some moments where it's not rehearsed and seeing him in front of, you know, a bunch of cameras and stuff like that. Yeah. I never got the impression that he was that kind of guy. So, and like we talked about yesterday, Kyler Murray, I'm not so sure about him. I think the jury's still out on him. I'm not sure how much his teammates. Now, I think it really helps Russ that in his second year, he won a Super Bowl for his team. But I don't know. I just don't hear those kinds of rah-rah things out of Kyler Murray. But, Russ, you've pretty much always heard that. I think it's always been a part of him.
Yeah. And there are those that will keep this going. I'm looking at a headline on Mike Florio's story on Pro Football Talk. Russell Wilson slams door on his concerns for now.
So, for now.
Oh. Yeah, and then he goes on to talk about, you know, at the end of this deal, he's going to want $50 million a year, and if they don't want to pay it, he'll go to another team, and it could happen sooner. He's laying it out there that this might not be done. One more from Russell here, where he just says, you know, the reality of the sports world, things can change, but he loves the team and the city.
Well, I think any time in sports, obviously things can change. I think that's just the reality. Everybody knows that, you know. But I think that for me, my heart of a hearts, and you know, I love the city, I love this place, you know, I love everything about it, from the moment I touched down to Seattle Children's to, you know, our Why Not You Academy to everything else that we have going on. This place has meant a lot, and ultimately, I love the fans, I love my teammates, I love this coaching staff, I love this building, you know. So every time I come up here, I get excited, you know, just to get ready to go again.
So
I love the Wyman and Bob show.
That's right.
I love,
he can't wait to speak
ESPN
with us. he loves
everything.
Russ is saying all the right things. He's a smart guy. He knows what to say to pacify angry fans, to pacify worried fans. I get it. And I think he does want to play here, but I also think he addresses it there. The reality of this business is maybe he does get too expensive down the road. Maybe he does, you know, have problems with something going on behind closed doors. That's true in any organization. So the idea that he's always going to be, you know, just 100% Seattle or bust at any cost, doesn't matter, I'm never going anywhere. I mean, that's just not the reality of the sports world. We see it in baseball, basketball, football, hockey. It doesn't matter. So he addresses what the possibilities could be in the future. But for this season, I don't think there's much to worry about. I can't imagine that there's anything to worry about other than what's happening on the field.
Yeah, well, and that's where I would worry, okay? And that's where my one concern, I have no reason to think this at all. But if this new offense gets going and it, because from everything that I've heard, what Schottenheimer came in with his offense and then it kind of turned a little bit towards more what Pete wanted to do offensively and his philosophy. And if that, you know, if it's perceived that that's happening, and I'm not saying that Pete's meddlesome or anything, but if that is sort of the, you know, maybe it's a sticking point or something that we brought this new offensive coordinator in, he's trying to run this, I love this offense, and then all of a sudden, remember when Pete said, we got to take less chances, we got to protect the ball a little bit more, we need to be able to run it. You know, if that, you know, if those two clash in some way, that's what I think could turn this thing around and make it a bad situation. But that's really the only thing I foresee. And I don't foresee, I mean, I'm not saying it's likely it will happen. It's just the only possibility to me where, you know, it could turn Russ back sour again if he feels like, you know, the offense isn't flowing through him.
All right, let's take two.
Well, former Mariner Willie Bloomquist was named the head baseball coach at his alma mater, Arizona State. And the former M's third-round pick spent the last six seasons as the special assistant to the Diamondbacks CEO.
Good for him. Good for Willie Bloomquist. You know, a decent player, had moments and was loved by some, like Jim Moore, who named his dog after him. His dog,
That's
Willie,
right.
was named after Willie Bloomquist. So, yeah, good for him, man.
Yeah, it's funny with baseball players. You typically don't. I mean, football, you're like, oh, yeah, I remember that guy's out of LSU or whatever. You usually don't, associate baseball players with the university they went to. I mean, other than Marco, because, you know, he went to Gonzaga, but typically.
Well, a lot of them don't go to college.
Yeah, well, you don't think about, like, Logan Gilbert. What was his alma mater? Stetson.
Stetson
yeah. in Florida. Yeah. So, yeah, but, yeah, good deal. I like it when the players go back and coach.
Well, this is good news for us cord cutters. Ryan Clark, who covers the Kraken for The Athletic, reported last night that Root Sports will talk to YouTube and Hulu about getting on those platforms in time for the next NBA and NHL seasons. Now, this comes in the heels of the news a couple days ago that Root grabbed the broadcast rights to the Trailblazers.
So, for those that have disassociated themselves with cable, and they're strictly working with apps and specific subscriptions, whether it's HBO, Showtime, YouTube, Hulu, all that. This is great news. I still have regular cable because, obviously, I need to watch the Mariner games and everything, so mm-hmm. I need Root Sports and all of that. But this is great news for a lot. It's amazing how many people have done that, by the way. How many people are like, yeah, I don't have cable. I've got you know, Netflix, and I've got Apple TV, and I've got this, I've got that, but they don't have just your traditional cable.
Yeah, both my kids. That do not have it, and we still have it. I still have TiVo.
Really? I didn't know TiVo was still a thing. I know DVRs are, but the brand I didn't know was still there.
It is in the Wyman household here. But,
wow. Is it next to your VCR?
It's next to my smart speaker that I don't know I have. No, it'll be fun to get to know some of these guys. And, you know, I think our role as far as covering the Kraken, a lot of it will be, you know, interviews and talking to the players. And I don't know what it is, the hockey players that I've run into and the people associated. Like when we have interviewed Ron Francis, who's an old hockey player himself, just a great, solid dude. And, I think that's going to be the fun part, is to get to know the players.
All right, Take Two is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife. Swedish.org/CyberknifeProstate. Coming up, John Morosi, the nicest guy in sports media, is going to join us next. Talk some baseball with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. We love talking to this guy and talking baseball. He knows everything about it. And maybe we can squeeze in a hockey question for him because he knows that as well. Joining us on the Issaquah Pest Control Hotline, he is John Morosi. How are you, sir?
Dave and Bob, I am outstanding. A convincing win for Italy today to open Euro 2020 play. Of course, we're still calling it Euro 2020, even though it's happening 1 year later. But 3-0 over Turkey. Love the creativity going forward. I believe Italy's going to win this tournament, guys.
Okay. I'm glad we got that part. You just took away my first question.
I'm excited. I'm actually still wearing – it's the one team that I allow myself to still – be a fan of. You know, in this business, we're around sports and we're working in it and we're in the business, but I do allow myself that when La Squadra Italiana is playing in the European Championships, I'm all excited. I got my Italy kit on. Sono molto emozionato. I'm very, very excited. All good.
Boy, I should be understanding everything you're saying since I'm half Mexican, but I don't. So I'll move on, John. Let me ask you about the Mariners and what we've seen from this team. First of all, we touched on Jared Kelenic with you a few times. He was still with the big club at that point. He's since been sent down, and I can't imagine you think that's a bad idea. I'm more curious as to how long you think he should stay down there, or should there be any level of urgency to bring him back?
Well, it's an important question right now for the future of the Mariners, really. And we have to ask ourselves, I think, first of all, it's a two-part question. Number one, why did he struggle so much? And the second part, to your point, is when should he come back? And I think that you're right that there should not be any rush to get him back. This is not about waiting for him to prove again that he can hit AAA pitching. We know that he can do that. That is not a question. He's proven that before. He's hit everywhere that he's ever been. I think this is a matter of rebuilding his confidence, and I think to the next level is to ask internally in a real, I think, intentional way, how do we help our best players get better and improve once they get to the major league level? Now, this is not just a Jared Kelnick issue in and of itself. Obviously, Taylor Trammell has hit a ton at AAA, but not in the major leagues. And I think that's the next question, is how do you help this next group achieve at the highest level? Because if Kelnick and Trammell hit at the major league level the way that their AAA performance suggests that they can, then the Mariners really have something. But if they plateau a little bit and stop getting better, then you have to wonder what the issue is. Is there a disconnect in coaching? I don't know. I'm not in the clubhouse every day. I'm just saying the results are at a point where you have to wonder if is this just a Jared Kelnick having a bad few weeks, or is it a deeper issue of players not improving as much as you want them to? And I think that's going to be one of the key questions before the Mariners front office and their field staff in the weeks and really the months to come.
John Paul, I think you compared him to Bryce Harper, which, you know, kind of a similar background and everything. Do you think it's going to be a little bit different with him? I mean, he is very confident, very confident. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just the reactions that he had at the big league, do you think it's going to be maybe a little bit harder for him? Because as you said, and we all accept this as being absolutely true, he's never failed like this before ever in his life. That's how he got here.
Right. Well, that's a very fair point. And I was as surprised as anybody else. He reminds me of Bryce. He really does. And Bryce has had tough stretches, maybe not quite this tough, but he has had droughts before from a production standpoint. And with Kelnick, I really think the pressure on him was amped up. And part of this is something he has to deal with. To me, when you think of yourself in the way that Jared thinks of himself, based on what I can tell, which is very highly, and he should. I think he wants to be a Trout-like player. He wants to be a Harper-like player, and he has that kind of ability. But when you do that, it takes a real, I think, strength of mental focus every single day to not try to do too much. And I just think he tried to do too much. Now we can unspool the yarn here and say, well, was it because of all the drama in spring training? Was it because they didn't call him up last year? It could be any number of those factors. The reality is he was hit with a bunch of adversity immediately at the highest level and didn't respond the way that we expected him to. And he's not the first or last person for whom that is the case. But I think now, at some point in time, and this I think is where, as I said off the top, that there is sort of a multifaceted look at this. On some level, yes, it's up to the coaching staff to help players like Kelnick, players like Trammell reach their full potential. But also at some point in time, it's up to the player. And with all due respect, if the pressure of performing and the pressure of his contract being talked about and the pressure of the noise of the organization in spring training, if that's going to get to him and prevent him from playing, then I have missed in my evaluation of who he's going to be. Because I think he's going to be a great player. I really do. I still believe that. But at some point in time, it can't be about, well, the external noise. And, you know, Kevin Mather is not there anymore. That situation is done. And Kevin Mather has nothing to do with your ability as a breaking ball on June the 1st in the major leagues. And I think that to me is going to have to be the way, whenever Kelnick comes back, and I hope it's soon, but not before he obviously has his confidence back going again. But at some point in time, it has to stop being about the contract and the organization and start being about how do I execute when I'm in the batter's box at 7 o'clock. And I think Jared is smart enough and talented enough that eventually that's going to be the case.
Hey, you know, John, we've brought up the idea that because of the, I mean, this team suffered an inordinate amount of injuries, and we've, you know, 51 different players, I think, is right. The number at this point with the roster. I mean, it's just been crazy. And we've talked about the idea, does this push back Jerry's plan for being competitive in 22? Does this now buy him more time? And I'm of the belief that, no, it doesn't. It does not. You don't have an excuse, and that's what next year needs to be. Whether that means your young guys haven't developed yet, they're not where you want them to be, then you bring in established talent and fill those spots until they're ready. You can't continue to kick the can down the road and say, well, this happened, so we've readjusted our expectations. What is your thought on how they should approach 22, whether this is an injury-riddled year from beginning to end or not?
Well, and that's an important question. And Jerry is approaching the sixth anniversary of his hiring. 6 years is a long time to be a GM in this league with one franchise and not make the playoffs. It is. You look around the league and even the division, the Angels have switched during that time. The Rangers have had some different internal promotions. Obviously, Chris Young came in there, so that's a new GM, you could say. Obviously, the Astros have had a change. Even successful teams have had changes in that interim time. He is now one of the longest tenured GMs in baseball in terms of years of continuous service. Of course, there was the brief interruption when he left the Angels before he went to the Mariners, but it wasn't very long. And so I do think if the question, and I think it is sort of about what the timeline is and when a Mariners fan should expect to win. And I don't think that the injuries of this year at all, to answer your question, should affect the expectation of this team winning next year. If the prospects are as good as we have been told they are, and a lot of people in the industry believe that they are that good, by the way, then you really should be winning next year. There is not what I would describe as a dominant team in this division right now. There isn't one. I think the A's are a very good team. But, of course, as we know, they're very much a year-to-year operation. The Astros are on the verge of they've already lost Springer, of course, to the Blue Jays. They're on the verge of potentially losing Correa to free agency. They are not a forever team in terms of being able to be a top echelon club right now in this division. So the opportunity, the fundamentals are still there. The Angels still have not figured out pitching. The Rangers are still a very middling, mediocre team. The Mariners should be a playoff team. I think the Mariner fans should expect this team to be in the playoffs next year, and if they're not, I think that the time is long since passed to ask serious questions as to why that's the case.
Hey, quickly, John, before we let you go, we're up against the clock, but just want to get a quick thought from you on the Kraken coming up with the number 2 overall pick in this year's draft. Who do you think that should be?
That's a great question. I'm going to go right now with Matty Beniers. He's been projected. A lot of different scouting services have him number 2. Of course, I've watched him play a lot for Team USA this year at the World Juniors, the World Championships. Tremendous motor. He brings a lot of energy, enthusiasm. Great family. He grew up outside of Boston. Was actually going to go to Harvard, then because Harvard didn't play this year, he went to Michigan instead. So two great choices there, of course, as you guys well know about my own perspective on those two schools. But tremendous competitiveness, great integrity, great motor, great shot. I think he's going to eventually be a goal scorer in this league. And I think, guys, for Kraken fans out there, be paying very close attention. Rod Brendamore, of course, longtime teammate of Ron Francis in Carolina, has not signed an extension to coach the Hurricanes. And he is what I would describe as a game-changing coach in the NHL. The Kraken hire Brendamore, oh my goodness, that would be a home run hire. So stay tuned there. Brendamore, still a possibility for the Kraken.
All right, we're going to keep that name right in front of us and talk to you about it when they do hire him. Let's hope that happens. We're taking your word for it.
He'd be a great hire, guys. I can't wait for the Kraken, man. I'm already excited about it.
John, it's always fun to talk to you. Thanks so much. We'll do it again soon.
Great. Italian soccer, baseball, hockey. We did it all today, my friends. All the best.
There we go. We got it all. Italian soccer, baseball, and hockey. Perfect. John Morosi with us. Always fun. Coming up, your chance. Mean text. That's how we end the week. Every week, 710-710 is the Mac and Jack's text line. You still have a couple of minutes. We'll do it next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
We do it every Friday here with Wyman and Bob. Whether we've got a full show, an abbreviated show, we squeeze in a segment for your venom, for your hate, for your hurt. The mean text segment that everybody loves. Not quite as much as Lefko, but you guys love it as well. Lefko, let me kick it off with this one that just came in because I thought it was hilarious. It's in reference to yesterday when we were interviewing the professor, Dave, and this one just says, mean text. Bob, what was it about the way Dave asked the professor yesterday about Kyler Murray possibly playing baseball that wasn't good enough for you? For those that have no idea what that's in reference to, we were speaking with the professor yesterday, and Dave asked him, apparently, I didn't hear it, asked him about the story of Kyler Murray talking about playing baseball, wanting to play baseball, and then I went back and repeated the exact question because I was actually reading the story of it as Dave was asking it, so I did not hear it, and
did you?
I'll own it.
By the way, yeah, I just did my Swedish cyberknife read, and people are texting me because I called it a prostate instead of a prostate. Okay, I know, prostate, I'm sorry. Call Swedish cyberknife. When I looked at you, when you asked that question, I don't know if you caught the look on my face, but I was very, very sympathetic. I always, and whenever I would do that, if I would do that, especially if it was Jim, you were just not going to hear the end of it ever. And that was the Drew Brees contract thing that came up all the time. And Clayton loves it when you repeat it, you know, repeat yourself. He likes to make fun of you and everything.
Well, we gave him new material now. He can move on from Drew Brees.
Now it's Kyler Murray. Drew Brees is retiring, so, yeah.
We need a new material. I was really just doing a service to the show, Dave. That's
exactly right, Bob. You knew exactly what you were doing.
What else did we get, Lefko?
Well, we got the 206. They said, the highlight of your show this week was Frank.
Frank was. It was fun.
He had a good day yesterday. I think he enjoyed that. And it was funny because as soon as Dave walked into the studio, he had his mask on and bent down to pet Frank. Frank's barking at him and wasn't sure about him. By the end of the day, he loved Dave.
Yeah, that was fun. He was a very well-behaved young man, and I'm sure he had fun over at Grandma and Grandpa's house.
Yes, he did. It was a big day for him.
So we should note, too, that on Twitter today, I posted another Wyman clip, and I think it's gone well because there's not as many mean comments. In fact, there are no mean comments. It's you sacking Jim Kelly. Do you remember that one?
Oh, yeah. Is that the one where I went flying through the
air?
You
flew over the top.
You got some hops in that one, man. I retweeted that as well. You guys can see it at Wyman and Bob on Twitter, at Bob Stelton on Twitter. Yeah, it's a definite highlight. You showed some hops there.
I haven't seen it yet. I wonder if it's the one that I should have kept up on my feet. But I'll tell you what, Corky Truen, who actually, he was the longtime photographer, still works for the Seahawks, and he actually did my wedding, too. I hired him to do my wedding. He had a picture, which I have here in my house, of where I'm just, like, horizontal, and me and Jim Kelly are holding hands in midair. Like, he's reaching back, and he caught it exactly at the right time, and it was on the cover of the PI. I think it was the PI. Might have been the Times at the time, but... Yeah, and it was just a beautiful picture, and it was going to be one of those, like, photo of the year awards in the NFL. I think it got, like, second or third because it's indoors, and the indoor, you know, photography isn't as good. But Corky caught just a beautiful picture of that. So, yeah, kudos to Corky Truen.
All right, I think one came in that's going to get me to laugh.
Uh-oh, here we go.
He's already laughing.
You might have to read it, but 425, I imagine Dave was pressure washing his jorts when he too had to come back on to fill the air during the M's rain delay. Pressure washing in his jorts when he too had to
his jorts. Lefko's just butchering this thing because he can't stop laughing.
Just say prostate and get back to that.
Oh, man.
So that was a good one. All right, we'll read one that I can read. So you
what are jorts, first of all?
Jean shorts.
Jean shorts.
Okay, it's
you don't know what jorts
cutoffs?
Are? That's why they're so funny.
I thought it was, back in my day, they were called cutoffs.
Okay. Because
when your jeans, the knee would wear out, you would just cut them off and make them into shorts.
Yes.
Okay.
Jean shorts, jorts. Yeah. So that's why the image is funny, right? All right, so they got me on one. You asked, I think you guys were talking the other day about, would anything get me mad? And the 253 said, take Lefko's oatmeal cream pies and he will rage.
Yeah. I think it always comes back to food.
Yeah,
that's
really
the trigger for you, I would think.
Yeah, it does.
Those oatmeal cream pies were horrific, by the way.
Oh, more for me. That's good.
They're just awful.
The 425 says, love the new commercial that starts with, why listen to Wyman and Bob? Because I ask myself that daily.
Yep. They know, our imaging people know what you're thinking, folks. They know what you're thinking.
You're posing it as a legitimate question.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good question.
You got one more, Lefko?
Let's see. So earlier in the week, Dave, you said something about, wow, I say a lot of different stuff or say dumb things. I don't remember exactly what you said, but the text was good. The 360 says, I agree with you, Stanford Dave. You have said a bunch of different dumber and dumber things. Longtime listener, Fred.
Thanks, Fred.
Thanks, Fred.
Yeah, I can't keep track of all the stupid things I say on this show.
Hey, we got 4 hours to fill. Years. Lots of dumb things get said by everybody here. Yeah. All right, that does it for us. I want to thank our guest today, John Morosi, for joining us on the program. You can find that conversation on the podcast page, 710sports.com. Click the podcast tab. Scroll down to our picture. Click on that. It's all right there for you. This week's edition of Get in the Cage, by the way, featuring UFC president Dana White. It's brought to you by the Emerald Queen Casino. That is also on the podcast page for you. Some good stuff out of Dana White. So check that one out. You got the Mariners and Indians in game one of their series coming up with the pregame show. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back on Monday right here with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.